to John, who himself was a bondman and not a servant of our from the very outset. He does not display the vision that is given to us, who encourages our service for the Lord Jesus Christ and his will. Well, I think coming down to the thought of service in this world, it is manhood that comes before us. The anointed man is Jesus Christ, and yet withal one that has been found in this world in flesh and blood and aeons, who never failed in every step of his pathway in the accomplishment of the will of God. You perhaps have other titles in mind, as we know the great online title, Christ Jesus, rather views him not so much as a man in this world, certainly still a man, but glorified at God's right hand. But it's well to remember that any element of the church of this way, whatever the testimony may have been, or maybe the Lord himself has been here in public testimony for God, making the same opposition and the same difficulties that we set out today.
Public service of the Lord again and again. Who does this service take up? Brothers and sisters, too?
All who seek to serve him, as we ought to address to the seventh century. We may not get down to 11 verses, that wouldn't matter to the night, so long as we get some help out of it. To say that at any time of the church's history, would we might say the full complement of the church. Not merely what may be given a name by man, but what is the true church, as well as much we know is kept into it. And as therefore an encouragement for every one of us, in whatever day we may be.
I ask that because sometimes we have the thought of speaking of servants, that we're speaking of brothers.
Well, the same way brothers that face the gospel and be addressed are perhaps the only servants at times. We should remember that's only one part of the service of our Lord in this world. And every one of us here in testimony for him has a service to do. And we can thank God for the resources that we see here are available for everybody.
The great service is within the bag, not the outside.
Well, that's true too.
That's open to all.
Oh, yes, quite.
The servant here seems to be in view of the coming kingdom.
I'm sure it is, Mr. Lopez. Yes, indeed it is.
When this phrase, the revelation of Jesus Christ, is used, does this mean the revelation belonging to him or the revelation of him?
No, it is rather a revelation that he himself was given to his runner. As we speak of that word revelation, it's a word of apocalypsis, which means that rolling aside of the veil. That is, certain things are there. But if you and I have to know what is there, then the veil must be rolled aside, that we might see what is there. And here in certain characters of God, in order that we might see these things that are yet to come, he was given this to pass on to John, through John to us, in order that we might be illuminated as to what God is doing in this world. And indeed what he will do too, as this book tells us. About the kingdom
beginning?
Oh, yes, right. Oh, there are many places that we know the Lord said, you see, that blessed are your eyes for they see, and your ears for they hear. Point being, of course, they've been in divine preparation in their souls, both to take in and understand what the Lord was saying to them.
Remember the Lord's words in the note in Mark and Lewis. Here that this soldier's upon them.
Yes,
upon them. That's terrible what the Mark was saying.
Oh, yes, right.
Very peculiar upon them.
Oh, yes. But I think you know very well that where you have quoted from in those last words as we speak of them of our Lord in John's Gospel, he was revealing what was heavenly, spiritual, eternal, more in regard to the region that he belonged to himself, and there he was going back to the Father. And he speaks to them the character of friends and in the mind of your gate. And while we are not on the one hand, we still have to remember we are also servants, subject to his lordship here in this world.
Do we just
isn't duty of the servant, has it? It isn't quite what he gets from himself. But what he comes on to us, on the behalf of God, uses an angel whom we believe as a heavenly servant of God, in order to pass it on to John, a servant of the assembly. I do not know how one will get servants, includes your name. As those to whom this revelation was sent.
If you remember, when everything is traced back to the origin, which is God, if everything is traced back to final conclusion, which is God, which is called life.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I'm speaking for forgiveness, but this is beginning God. Here, at the very end, when everything is being traced to a final conclusion, it is God that is pointing out what the end is.
But you have been often pointed out to us too, that whenever one of the persons of the Godhead is selected as being the Creator, it is always the Son. But he's not viewed here so much as the intelligent as Creator, but as Jesus Christ still available to communicate these things to, I nearly said his servants, we are his servants, in order that the will of God might be accomplished in us. As it was accomplished in him when he was here.
In these first 11 verses that were read, even in these first 11 verses, the language that is used is strange in the light of the New Testament. It seems there's something very peculiar about the language and the aspect of Revelation. It's a little like the Old Testament in measure, isn't it?
Well, yes, because we find actually in Revelation the end that was in view in the whole of the prophetic word. The law and the prophets were on the young. Since that time the kingdom of God has preached, Christianity has come in, and the world to come has been in view all the time, and this is the book that tells us how it's going to be brought to the end.
Now, Jesus gives him this title of God, gives him the Trinity.
Yes. It probably could do here, though Matthew would not say, you see, which God gave unto him, selecting the Lord Jesus Christ individually.
It is what is in the life, or what we can do, or what we can do,
yes.
And only can do through Jesus.
Yes, that would be one of the points I hope will come to mind here. Four times, Matthew, we have the Father's name mentioned. That's another thing we just learned by taking, looking it up there. There are the four occasions in all of the first three chapters. The Father's never mentioned, or lighting my help after the first three chapters. Which shows, you see, that Christianity is obviously a view. Where the Son has revealed the Father, the outstanding feature of our blessing today, as far as life is concerned.
You were quite right in saying, I think, this is a book for servants.
Yeah.
And there couldn't be intelligent servants. And that's a new book of Revelation.
Actually, I hope we'll get that home, that we aren't used here as servants. We know a distinctive calling. Hebrews is being spoken about, approaching to the presence of God, but here it is definitely serving the Lord in the midst of a hostile world. And I did hope that that point would at least be maintained as a good thing.
Is there a distinction drawn here between the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus in Christ? Is there a difference between the two?
Well, it is still, as we find just read very deeply then in vain, that the Lord Jesus Christ is still guilty of servant. The word here is the well-known word that we know of our heart, which is the substance of the thing communicated. Not merely the communication, but the substance of the thing that is communicated. And you remember the use of the divine name of our Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now this is the substance of the thing, the record of the Word of God. But then whether you and I are going to really receive this word, where can we find it? It's coming and made available to us in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it is testimony to it from the Lord to his servants as and he never will testimony to it when himself was healed in this world. And in that connection,
what would shortly take place? It's a connection of what God was going to do with his Christ, isn't it?
Whereas what God is doing this, and they got the whole universe comes in here, and Christ is the center of into it, as this book is over. But you see, before that day, the glory is alone. Here we are still in a hostile world, still awaiting that glory to come. And if I've understood these opening verses right, it's to give us encouragement to go on, in spite of the increasing darkness, as sure the third day of glory. wonderful to think that we have been enlightened today, and in spite of all that may be going on around us, to go steadfastly on, answering to the truth of the assembly, and in subject service for our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's what we learn from this very section we read.
Testimony to the royal
rights
of Jesus,
it must be out. Yes, I ought to be maintaining that now. That's what we do our best to try to hold on to at the moment. That day come a kingdom and the glory we are only so well aware of it, aren't we? But the point is, where am I now among these seven assemblies? How much am I answering to this? If God has so graciously enlightened me, and the Lord is there at my elbow as it were with all these resources, what am I doing today? And am I half in this world around, or definitely out of it in my service to the Lord?
The vessel that was the subject was a very faithful servant.
John? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we can be sure of that, but it's not used men to pass on communications like this. To be faithful men. John, this bottom one of Jesus Christ, subject subject to his will. The great problem of government, isn't it? Completely subject to the will of another. Well, I'm going to have to turn it home on ourselves at that sort of thing.
How did this message come to John? Just by an angel?
Well, of course, he got this vision, as we are told of the Lord, and then leads the writing of your occasion to pray you. Get down the chapter, he turned to Stephen Paul. He was simply selected as the vessel, I suppose, in a suitable condition to receive it and uprightly put it onto the church of God. See that again?
Why an angel? And I look forward with normal communication.
Well, the angel is brought in as a communicator between the Lord and his servants. As we said, we're dealing with the government of the earth primarily, and our testimony to this just world. And hence, these angels who are never failing in the accomplishment of the will of God, complete bondmen, and another vessel that is used on the heavenly side. To communicate this to his servants.
No need to have angels to make communication with this guy now, because the word of God comes in.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Angels, on the other hand, are enough of God's power and providence, and that's what happened this morning.
Well, but they're here, the angels, of course, they're God's messengers, aren't they? Well, now again, it's been pointed out that this is a book that carries a blessing of it, even to reading it. Blessed is he that readeth. Now, others might have something to say, but I'm going to suggest about that the very fact of reading it would show that I had an interest in it. Not only that, they that hear the words of this prophet, here I am quite prepared to accept it. And thirdly, and keep those things which are written therein, I'm quite prepared to answer to it.
Here would also suggest those who could not read, because Bibles and patchments and humours and all that
might have been. This word here, Mark, it does carry the thought of reception, as the Lord Himself said, you remember, he that heareth my word. The Pharisees said to speak, but never heard the word.
Yeah.
It was never received by them.
No.
And I think the point is here that there's an emphasis in what the Lord is doing. Interested enough to read about it, and not only that, I'm quite prepared to accept what the Lord says to me. I'm taking an individual to hear it and then seek the grace to put it into practice and
certainly.
And sure it would.
Today it's very important to read for yourself. You get a way of quote the scripture of time and say, quote it in extra. Read for ourselves.
Well, yes. Yeah. And he carries with it, you see, this promise that the Lord says, the interest that we all show in these things are the time of his hand.
That means that these things are going to be very near and not far away.
That's right. I'm sure, Mr. Book, as most of us are more and more convinced that the Lord's coming is not very far away. My view is it's not the Lord's coming. We know that these details have been given to the theory. Thank the Lord, as we've said, we know all the things as well, that the first effect of that appearing, so far as we are concerned, will be to take us to be with himself.
Doesn't this much of the sister be a moral chapter to God, because after all, this will be the
first. Oh yes, that's right.
Not for a moral
The time is at hand, but what else were you thinking about it, say now? I wondered if that statement had in view what already you have quoted, that it was given to the Apostle Paul to complete the word of God. There's nothing fresh to come to light. This is the last divine communication which will ultimately usher in the kingdom. Of course, for us, you know, when we think the time is near, it's about 2 days away. But 1,000 years is the Lord's age, remember with the Lord.
Is that question of reason and there must be God to complete the work of God. Is it not a stupid subject?
Oh, yes.
The assembly.
I think it is. Oh, yes, it is there.
And it is not further revelation to be given. What this book deals with, this truth that already has been brought out. But what it does tell is that the whole thing is going to be brought into effect.
The Apostle Paul wasn't privileged to read the words of the prophecy, was it?
No, he was gone for this time. Isn't it thought that this was the last book that was written, even though it is the book of Revelation? Some think Mark in his gospel probably came out there. But with that as it may, I think, as you said, that Paul would never see this book.
So what a high blessing we have to have this book and to read it, understand it, and see the things that are written in it.
That's right.
What is the God of the 96? Is he when this is given?
Well, I don't know just about the date, Mark, but I've never checked that up.
I think it is in 96.
96, huh?
It's 20 years after the Apostle Paul.
I see now, yes.
Written because we're dealing with
Paul. Well, I'm perfectly sure that's in view. It's one of the thoughts that occurred to one's mind in reading it over. It's certainly in view of the departure in the assemblies. John was not the man that formed the assemblies. Wait, no one will say about John, he was used as God rather than formed families and assemblies. The divine family. But it's the calling work to bring the light to these assemblies that John has given to the
view. Referring to the text of the debate that his church members were in his church.
That's right.
Paul said the whole day they
said that. That's right.
That was your answer.
Yes, I'm sure that was in view. And he does not for you any purposes as a matter of the law sentiment.
Then to say, John, but I'm really
reading.
Well,
I was one self with that woman. Arguing that.
Yes,
we're reading it. Oh, yes, there's a blessing that goes along with it. I mean, there's still these seven churches that are in Asia. You've already said you have anticipated a little bit, but all day with the Asia not turned away from me. Now here's the Apostle John, raised up of God, and given this wonderful vision to send to these very assemblies, of whom the Apostle had to speak so softly. But it comes from an eternal person. Whatever may be the changes in regard to time, he is an eternal person, is, was, is to come.
Father, who is worthy of the news, you know that it is departure, grace, and peace from him. Would be a resource statistic about John?
Yes.
Continue on here, as you tell them.
I wonder, Mark, your history, Godhead is involved here. Someone mentioned about the Godhead, which is and was and is to come. Secondly, the seven spirits which are before his throne, and thirdly, and from Jesus Christ. It seems as though the whole Godhead is involved in this.
Why the seven spirits?
Well, now, it again has been said a reference to the Old Testament. Is it Isaiah 6 where that contained the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding? The Spirit of counsel and might? Anyway, there's a sevenfold aspect of the Spirit there.
The Christ is not the Spirit in the dwelling of the believer. It is looked at as from the throne of God.
Yes, it brings us back to what you said a little earlier, Mr. Booker. It's the kingdom that's in view here, come on. I thought we were saying as we go down, there is not so much the heavenly calling as we know it. And what we do know it, but what the assembly is still in this world, representative of God. Thank you, you've got them, do you? Read them all up there, don't you? Yeah.
Chapter 8,
verse 5.
The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of counsel and might. Spirit of knowledge and of fear.
It's It's not the only test. There's a reference to them again, I think, in 2 Chronicles. We might have checked those up. But then, nevertheless, does it not speak of the plenitude of the Spirit and all that's available for us in the power of the Spirit of God today? It rested upon the Lord there. It's now available for us.
Death itself, that's the example. I'm going to be the God of his martyr suffering.
here also is talking about.
Yes, right.
And I believe the words that love us is a past thing, but it should be who love us.
And wash us from our sins and his own blood. Wonderful that while his greatness and manhood, his supreme place and atmosphere of manhood has gone before us, the one thing that has come before all praise from the saints is not his royal dignity and glory. I think a kingdom of grace unto God and his Father. And so the same Christian position that we have been brought into, knowing God is not there, but in the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How gladly we join in the scriptures of praise.
In contrast to lawlessness, now we are standing under the sway of divine love.
But you remember, you'll get both the royal as well as the holy priesthood. And the remarkable thing is that the royal priesthood was seen to be in you here, a kingdom, face to face God the Father. I think that the royal priesthood on behalf of God, more than the priesthood directly to God.
That's something of the book, really.
And he's coming as walking before he comes with cloud. The cloud is ever the symbol, is it not, of the divine presence? The glory man from his ascension. The cloud received him out of their sight.
Speaking of the royal priesthood, that is the man.
We thought so, yes.
It says here that they were made priests unto God.
Yes.
Is it not taking loving kindness for us?
I don't know if it does. But all we're suggesting about that is it is the royal side that is emphasized. And I think just as we, well, priesthood has the idea of representation. And what I think we are worth to keep in mind. It may involve association. Well, it does when we speak of Christ the priest, but the great common priesthood is represented. And not only have we the privilege of representing what is due to God Godward, but it's the kingdom of peace to represent what is due to God manward. And I thought that was the day of this, bringing it before the kingdom.
It seems to me, today, it seems to be very great, a peculiar dignity of God. It says not priest to our God.
That's right. Oh, yes. I think it is. While we're speaking about representation, the point is it's in our hands today, you see, the royal priesthood. I think it's that we might convey to men what God has in view for their blessing.
Why should it not be called God the Father?
Well, because as we said, given us the distinct of Christian position, this is for the seven assemblies, not for the remnant that you spoke about a little earlier. And we have a position on the knowledge of God. Israel may have it in the world to come, but they're not having it in the way that we have it today, as in association with our Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't only God whom we serve, the God whom we do serve is a God and heart of our Lord Jesus Christ.
It's distinct of them to do the present day Christianity.
The Lord mentioned it, Mark, even in relation to the kingdom of our Father which art in heaven. But I think it's the point of this holy, blessed liberty that we have, and the life that we have concerning God, that you and I are called to bear witness to as we are open for this world.
Well,
so, myself that the reason that is brought in is not coming the next time from Bethlehem, it's coming from heaven. And I think you'll find that it's all tribes of the land shall wail because of him. Israel is expecting them still to come of the seed of David and born of a virgin. Now, when he comes the next time, he'll come from heaven. He's coming with blood. Well, I would say it.
That is to say, it's a supreme power.
And it was a supreme power, but not coming from the spot that Israel is expecting him, or indeed this world is expecting him. He's coming from heaven.
Every
eye, that's right, shall see him. No. I'm only saying that I believe that's why that is brought in. And our brother quoted from Matthew, you see, I was thinking of that. Coming with the clothes of heaven. He said that to us. But it does say here, mind you, all the kindreds of the land shall be all the tribes, isn't it? Does Mr. Now remember that? Right? Yes. The tribes of the land shall be all because of him. Well, it was the Romans, that's true. Right? Every eye shall see him, that's involved in the verse. I do not doubt they get Gentile or Jew there. As you say, I do not doubt they're involved here, every eye. The nation that refused them as their Messiah, that they'll see him next time, not coming from Bethlehem to India, but coming with the cross of heaven. Oh, yes. Well, he said, that's right, long did I receive, he says, in the house of my friend.
Is this the literal type?
I'm sure of that. Oh, yes. They're going to see him. He's going to go to the living nations before him, you remember. They'll all see him.
There's also a seal according to Zechariah chapter 12, producing great friends.
I think that's what's in view here, so.
There seems to be something very striking in the verse, but it's very commencing. Yes, behold.
And then we have the Lord speaking of himself. I am the Alpha, or I am Alpha, and Omega. I think the beginning and the end is just an argument, that is an interpolation. But there's many things being said about that. We have a brother who used to say about it. He had the first word and he had the last. But what is your that, of course? Well, you think it might embody, I think we all probably know that Alpha is the first of the A of the Greek language. And Omega, as I would have said, it's the end of the Greek language, the last pair. Does it not seem to involve that every divine communication that God has made descended in this wonderful verse? All that God has to say to man descended in. Yes. Oh, yes, I know how about that.
But it's more than that, isn't it? It's the totality of what is there.
That's right.
The completeness of what is there.
I think if anyone's interested in these, to look them out, the next time it is brought in, it will be chapter 21, I think, and the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, is brought in there. But lastly, in chapter 22, we'll have them all together in one verse. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's the only verse where the whole we are right back put together.
Actually, it is less than itself to our position. Yes, the Lord, which is, and the disregard of the Almighty.
An assertion that while he is Jesus Christ, as we say, the true servant of God, yet he's co-equal with God. He is God. Difficult thing, of course, for I will find my mind to grasp. But as somebody says, if your mind, if you cannot understand it, at least you've got faith to believe it.
Is the
fact
that Christ himself or the
Well, I think it's the Lord himself here who is speaking. I am Alpha and Omega. It's really set for all, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty.
Said the Almighty is the God who is enough. What are the source of his Christ and Jesus?
Made himself known by that time, you remember, to everyone. promised Abraham things that humanly were not possible. Well, now, John, this servant who's given to write this to us, I, John, your brother and companion, fellow partakers in the glory of companion, in tribulation, and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. The great mark, of course, of the kingdom today is characterized by patience, although I suppose the writer means endurance.
In the kingdom and power of the coming day.
We said we had in mind that these might have a practical effect upon us. I mean, some of us have heard these things time and time again. But where am I today about this endurance? Am I getting tired? Do I think the thing's not worth going on with any longer? Am I inclined to give it up?
The dispensation will overlap a little. And you and I might come in for some considerable persecution before we get home.
Very possible, yes.
So the name's it, when you wrote this.
The thing that the writer's doing is to run in the spirit of Hebrews 12, which says, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us.
There are four positions that he speaks of here. The first is in tribulation. And now doubtless was said earlier in this reading, that would be a result of his testimony. But then he was in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. That was, we might say, the spiritual thing. Well, I tell him here, as attached to the Lord Jesus Christ, as to his local conditions, he was in the eye of the Holy Catmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. But fourthly, I was in the spirit.
All things at once.
And you're the wrong tool on that one.
I think that the brotherly passage is in touch here. I know the brother.
Aye, very good. Yes. And how about that? Yes.
All the tributes of brotherhood that the disciples or the disciples.
That's why I was
talking about the brotherhood. The meaning of it is the testimony of Jesus closes that.
That does.
There's an increased hostility against that name today.
That's right. Probably. Probably was. Yes. For the word of God. Thanks, Mr. Berry. That was one of the points we wanted to press. Thanks for saying it. I'm sure it's true. It's all the matter of that patience. Am I complaining? I may rebuke and say, well, he never seems to have a care in the world. He has no idea what I'm suffering. All right, take the position he's in. But you're right, God. These are the things that we hear said among the saints, you know. I'm perfectly sure that we all have got what the Lord wants us to have, unless we go on this stage, Matthew. But if we are going on simply as his servants, let us stay in the heart, he's got us just what he wants us, and we'll be the best servant in this world. All right, very good. Very good. Why not, when adverse circumstances come along, why not turn to the Lord and say, Lord, why has this done? What do you want me to do in it? What's it about? Accept it from him. We think, of course, on the disaster side that we're losing from him. Oh, but if I'm bound to him as his bondman in this world, his servant, I simply ask him just why it is there, what he wants me to do, and not why, as it were, why should I do it?
Under the service.
Under the sanctuary.
The fact is, it's possible to rejoice in the Lord in the circumstances of every place, not the other.
They use a popular expression, I think it's when we get under the weather that we talk like that. No, let us be sure of what the Lord has put upon us is best for his will. Why should he not do it? He's been in some greater place. And Mr. Manuel Day, I remember telling this once about a young man in Edinburgh. If I only had the job that so-and-so had and the time to spare that, what do you do for the Lord? And Brother Mr. Deacon, not just for money, quietly said, what if we do the Lord that do for that? I'm perfectly sure of this, that I serve the Lord in a better time and with a better spirit than I am at this moment, and the Lord will put me there. Not all let us be subject and accept this. John obviously accepted it. Men may put me in the yard of fact, well, yes, that's what they've done. But I can see now that God wants to be there for the word of God on the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, that's the only way we write. We're right above the circumstances of here to go on. As in the spirit. Yes, yes, why? Oh, how long do we get these things in mind? Half the troubles and trials you speak about, you know, do it not.
I do know about being in the spirit.
Well, yes, I was going to say, that's how the rise above it. I just want to mention a brother who once spoke to me, because he wasn't doing enough work for the Lord, and from very exercise that is, and having an accident. But in the hospital. Two men were converted in that hospital through that brother's presence. The disease letter that he sent me, rejoicing on that bed, well, then he said, half dead, he said, they got pretty bad smack. He said, I've been wanting to send the Lord in the best of your service I've ever been in. Well, that was it. I think that man was in the maybe not the Lord's day when he opened it to me. He was certainly in the spirit.
Why didn't he have his kid?
I think it was a special objective in view. It wasn't that John had just received the Spirit. Again, it's being said, you know, it's one thing to be a possessor of the Holy Spirit, it's quite another thing to be spiritual. I think the second group involved with them under the power of the Spirit wasn't particular work. I mean, that was simple work that we have to do, perhaps speaking of the Bible reading, perhaps some of us on Sunday night preaching the gospel. We think we need an extra supply of the Spirit, as it were, for this particular work in view. And I think that's what John is referring to here. I'm sure of that. The vessel comes maybe under the Spirit's control.
Remember the apostle in the Philippians.
So 256.